All right, it is good to see everyone today. We are in Joshua chapter 3 again, part 2 of God Knows the Way. Joshua chapter 3, and we will read verse 3 through 5, and we will go forward today. God has a plan for your life. In 2024, you have not been this way before. You've never been this way before. The Lord tells the children of Israel as He's leading them into the promised land. And so we've never been this way before. And so we're going to examine this and move forward. In Joshua 3, verse 3, they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place, from where you are encamped." They had tents, and I'm sure they had fires going, and they had set themselves up on that side of the Jordan. He says, "You're to get up from where you are encamped and follow after the Ark of the Covenant," which represents the presence of God leading you. "And there shall be a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits by measure, about 1,000 yards. Come not near unto it, that you may see it clearly out in front, so that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." You don't know the way to go, but God does. "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." I want to praise God. Tomorrow represents the future, and God wants to do wonderful things for our life. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I thank you again for strength and health, and the anointing of the Spirit to share in Charleston. I see so clearly your reason for me being there. And Father, I thank you for the privilege of just simply preaching you. I thank you for my cousin Jeannie, who has got saved in middle school and served you her entire life, and now is with you in glory. And Father, I just thank you so much that Patty was with me. And Lord, I thank you for a godly wife. And I thank you for this wonderful church family that prays for us and holds us up, because we wouldn't make it without these prayers and the love and support. And I thank you we can share that with one another. What a privilege, Lord. The body of Christ. Father, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. I pray to be cleansed right now and anointed by your Spirit to share your truth. And Father, I just pray that your Spirit will speak to our hearts, Lord. Let everyone in this place know, you've got this, Lord. Whatever they're facing, you've got it. You've got a plan. You want to bring blessing into our lives. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, now look at what the scripture says. He goes in verse 4, "Keep the Ark of the Covenant out in front of you, because you have not been this way before, but God knows the way. And He wants to lead you to blessing and to provision and to victory. But what I want you to understand is God wants to do this for you." And so that's what he says, "Keep me in a position where my guidance and my leadership can be clearly seen." So he wants us to show us this plan for our life. And look at what he says in verse 4. "Keep it 2,000 cubits out ahead, that you may clearly know the way." I want you to understand something. When God speaks to you about a decision you need to make or a path you need to choose, He wants you to come to a definitive and a conclusive answer, and you stay with him until he gives it to you. He wanted to be so far out in front, if it was 5 million Israelites that were crossing over at this moment, or 3 million, or however many it was after they had come out of Egypt 40 years earlier, he wanted them to clearly see the definite path that God had for them, to show them the way that they should go, because they know not the way. So go back to John chapter 10, where we were last week, and let me show you how definitive this is. Now, I took you to Deuteronomy 11 last week, where the Lord said in Joshua, you don't know the way, but in Deuteronomy 11, God tells Moses, my eyes are on the land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, so that I can bless it. And the land promised unto Israel represents God's will for your life. So God's got a plan for your life. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, he's got a plan for your life, for your entire life. And he wants to bless you and bring you provision. I'm going to tell you today why we don't follow his plan, but I want to lay this down. John 10, verse 3. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So what I want you to understand is the voice of God should be a conscious personal awareness in the life of the child of God. You should be consciously and personally aware of when God is speaking to you. And I'm going to say it again. The voice that opposes the voice of God more than ever is your own voice. So when you make a plan, you need to make up your mind, is this me or is this God? And as James said, if you're going to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you shouldn't say that. You should say, if this is God's will, God will. You know, my cousin asked me, when are you getting to town? I said, we're getting to town Wednesday afternoon. God willing, God willing, God willing. Keep that in mind all the time. But notice what he says. I call them out by name personally. They hear my voice personally. And I lead them out personally. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. Here we go again. Keep God out in front. And the sheep, that's you, they follow him, for they know his voice. And in verse 9, the shepherd saves them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. By me you get saved. And then after salvation, I lead you in the sheepfold for protection at night. I lead you out in the morning to the green pastures and still water so you can find provision. And I do all this because of verse 10, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I want you to be blessed in life. God wants to lead you and God wants to bless you. Our job is to allow him to do this. We need to allow God. What a loving God. God wants to bless me. I want you to get up tomorrow morning and say, I praise you, Jesus. You want to bless me. I want you to get up tomorrow morning and say, I praise you, Jesus. You want to guide me directly and definitively in life. Go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. God's got a plan for your life. Problem is, most people don't understand that. Most people don't seek it. Most people don't have the personal, intimate relationship with Jesus developed and disciplined where you commune with him on a daily basis in simplicity. I love that line in the song, Ken. When all is stripped away. I say that all the time. You got to strip everything away. I was in a situation this week where, you know, it was an hour of stuff that should have been stripped away. And, it's unbelievable, the ritualism in Babylon. It's Babylon, a lot of it. In Psalm 37, verse 23, it says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Now, that word steps actually means footsteps, all right? And it's singular. It's a plural, but it's singular. So it means step by step by step. The steps of a good man as he walks the path are ordered by the Lord. So that means you take your time. You're following God step by step. A lot of times we want to know step 5 and God's trying to get us to step 2 or step 1. And then what happens? We end up in front of the Lord. Cameron, I have to confess that. There are many times I've gotten ahead of God in my life. That's a legitimate statement for a child of God to make. Lord, forgive me. I've gotten ahead of God in my life. I got ahead of you there, Lord. And you want to learn from that. You want to follow God. Lord, I tried to implement my plan for my life, for my son's life, for my family's life. And I kept beating a square peg into a round hole there, Lord. And so we need to be cognizant of that and convicted of that and sensitive. And so it says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered," or directed by the Lord, "and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." So I want you to understand, when we're in God's path, two things we can count on. Number one is that God is with us. I will never leave you nor forsake us. And number two is our needs will be provided for. Our needs will be provided for. Maybe not all our wants, but our needs will be provided for, and we'll be content in that. Many people are out of God's will because they just want so much. They want this, they want that, they want this. And they live their entire life, and the God of their life is what they want, what they think they have to have. And I want you to understand, this is baseline provision here. I have never seen those following God begging bread. And what he means is you'll be fed, you'll be taken care of, your basic needs. We live in a country of entitlement. Americans think they ought to have it all. Well, I want to tell you something, my friend. I don't want any more than what God wants me to have in this life. And we need to understand that. And once you're growing in this personal relationship with Christ, you're so content. And you'll say, I've got so much more than I ever needed or ever deserved. How many of you in here can say that right now? We've got more than what we need. We've got more than the bare necessities. I mean, why don't you say that to God? You know, and claim that. Instead, oh, we need this now. We need that now. We need this now. And so that's what he says. I've never seen him begging bread. And if you come up here to verse 5, it says this. It says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring to pass what I've just said, never being forsaken." That word commit in the Hebrew is galal, G-A-L-A-L. And it means to roll over the responsibility from yourself onto someone else. To roll over the responsibility from yourself onto someone else. And Kathy, that would mean if I got to go to the doctor tomorrow and I were to ride over to your house and say, Kathy, you can drive my car, but I want you to drive me to the doctor and I hand you the keys. I have rolled over the responsibility of driving myself to the doctor over to Kathy for her to do it. And that's what it means. You commit every area of life to the authority of Jesus Christ. Whether it's your relationships, your finances, the way you use your time, the decisions you have to make. What major decisions are going on in your life right now? Which ones are coming up in your life? right now, or a year from now, or whatever. Commit these things over to the Lordship authority of Christ. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and that leads me right into this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the scripture says this: Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, I want to clarify that. What that means is trust in the Lord with all thy heart, all right? Your overriding dependence there is on the leadership of the Lord. And when it says lean not on your own understanding, it means don't depend on your own understanding. Don't let that be the final thing, but you can use understanding, you can use logic, you can use reason, bring it before God, common sense, bring it before God, but allow Him to have the final word and the authority for the direction and the guidance in your life. And look at what he says. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In every area of your life, acknowledge his authority over that area. Lord, you are Lord over my marriage. Lord, you are Lord over my relationships. Lord, you are Lord over this ministry. You are Lord over my job. Lord, you are Lord over the finances that you bless me with. You are Lord over the way I need to use my time. You are Lord over the involvement I need to be in certain areas of life. So in all your ways, acknowledge his lordship authority. And look at what it says. He shall direct your paths. He'll give you guidance. Now, why should I do this, Brother Leo? We'll go to verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. And look at what it says, verse 2. This is number 1. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So I want you to understand something. If I'm allowing God to direct my path in life, I'm going to have a whole lot more peace in my life, Cameron. I'm not going to have disorder, chaos. People cussing, raising the roof, all that. I'm going to have peace in my life. I'm going to have peace in relationships, peace in my heart. Probably going to have a long life. Because I was reading one commentator, you know, we didn't have all these doctors back when Proverbs was written. But I believe the proverb writer, with the wisdom of God, found out that stress can cause you to shorten your life. And so he said, peace will add long life, rather than being under stress. So I'm not going to be under that much stress. In verse 4 it says this: So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If I'm letting God lead my life, I'm going to find favor with God. I'm going to find favor with man. I mean, it's a no-brainer. People say, oh, you must be a great man of faith. You're going to allow God to lead your life. My friend, I want you, you don't have to be a great man of faith. It's just common sense. I want a blessed life. And the only way to have a blessed life is to have God in the leadership role in every area of my life. So you're going to find favor with God and with man, and a good understanding of your relationships. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In verse 8 it says this: It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I looked that up this week. It's a Hebrewism, a Hebrew saying. And the reason navel, health to your navel in the Hebrew mind is the center of the body. And it represented all the organs. Secondly, it's the method by which a baby in the womb receives nourishment. So when they say it is health to your navel, it means you're gonna be healthy and nourished and have a vitality to your physical life. And then when it talks about marrow to the bones, it meant the same thing. It meant the marrow is what supplies the bones their nourishment and their strength. And so when God's directing your path, you're seeing all these blessings. Spiritual blessings, relationship blessings. You're seeing physical blessings. And then look at what it says. Honor the Lord, acknowledge the Lord with your substance. You need to get down on your knees and say, Lord, 100% of what I've got in my life today, materially, financially, whatever, it's all because of you. Amen. It is all because of you. This job I've got today, it's because of you. The money that's been earned, people like to say, my money, I've earned this much money. It's a gift from God. Praise God. He's the one that's given you the health. He's the one that's given you the intelligence. He's the one that opened the door and got you in that position, etc., etc., etc. So honor Him with all of that. Honor Him with the first fruits of all thine increase. Use some of it to bless other folks in the name of Jesus. And now look what verse 10 says. Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your wine presses shall burst out with new wine. That's talking about the material. So if I'm allowing God to guide my life and not imposing my plans on Him, but submitting my life to His plans for me in every area of my life, then spiritually, physically, emotionally, and materially, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be content with such things that I have. I'm going to wake up in the morning and say, man, I am so blessed by God in every area of my life. And it changes your perspective. But and this is a great way. You know, settle this in your heart. For me, it's a no-brainer. The absolute best and highest and most blessed life that you and I can live is found in seeking to and following Jesus as He directs our paths. It's a no-brainer. I don't want to be out in front. But, capital B-U-T, 2 points. Number one, God will never force His plan on you. You got free will. He created you that way. Number one, God will never force His plan on you. And number two, in your fallen human nature, many are not willing to follow God's plan or to even give God's plan a chance in their life. And now I'm going to tell you why. Why don't people follow God? Why don't people give God a chance to implement His plan for their life? We'll go back to Joshua. It was right there. You might have missed it. You didn't miss it. I ain't read it to you yet. I didn't say ain't in that higher Anglican church environment. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. I didn't say ain't. But I ain't read it to you yet. Boy, I tell you, I love this building. And I love you people. Okay, Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. It came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant went before them. And as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest. Oh my. That's why people don't follow God. Well, why is that, Brother Leo? Well, let me tell you something. I studied the River Jordan and the significance of that phrase. Jordan, at the time God was going to lead them over, was overflowing all his banks all the time of harvest. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me give you a little geography and time lesson or season lesson here. 9 out of 10 months out of the year, 9 to 10 months out of the year, let me describe the Jordan to you. It's 40 foot wide. Very shallow, and at most it's knee deep. 9 or 10 months out of the year. Harvest time, 2 or 3 months out of the year, it's a mile wide. And it is 30 to 40 feet deep. That's quite a difference. 40 foot wide and knee deep to a mile wide and 40 feet deep. And that's when God said, now's the time for you to cross the Jordan. Now, why do people not follow God? Well, we might say, Lord Jesus, this is just not a good time for us. Let's wait a few months and then we'll go when the water's down. Okay? Not now. Just doesn't add up. Doesn't make sense to us. Let's wait till it's down. Our Lord, this is just not the way that I would do it. I don't think it's a good idea to cross the river during a flood. What are you doing? You're leaning on your own understanding. This is why you don't follow God. It's exactly why you don't follow God. Or maybe this is it. God, Lord, I've got another plan. A safer plan, a plan I'm just a little more comfortable with. I don't really think I need to consider your plan. You know? Somebody else I need to date? Huh? You a young lady? You know, Patsy? Ben? You know, when you're a young lady, and me, a young man? You know, I'm kind of comfortable with this guy, this girl. Been with him 2 or 3 years. This must be the one. Well, have you prayed about it? Is God telling you that? Well, family's got money. Oh, yeah, well. That's how God works. I mean, where's that Proverbs? Marry the richest young man you can find. God's plan, let me tell you something. Then I'm backing all this up with Scripture. Just embellish me. God's plan is probably going to get you out of your comfort zone. That's why you don't want to follow. We're sitting in a hotel room Thursday night getting ready to leave, and Patty was telling me what some of the Sturr's funeral home people were telling her and different things. And one of the guys had heard me years ago, And I turned to Patty. I said, when we were dating in high school, did you ever figure I would become who I am today? She goes, not in a million years. Not in a million years. I wouldn't trade the life God's given me. I couldn't imagine what God had for me. But I praise God. Let me tell you how it works. Go to Isaiah 55. This is where our problem is. And you're either going to live a C-minus life or an A-plus one in the spirit. I mean, it's the full and abundant, or it's the comfort zone and the status quo. And you know, so often in life, we don't even allow God. You saw that verse. He said, tomorrow I want to show wonders to you. God wants to do wonderful things in your life. And they're in his plan. Isaiah 55:8 says this. You know, if you can get this in your heart. My thoughts are not your thoughts, Leo. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, think about how more wonderful the heavens are, and are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I want you to understand something. God's ways are higher, they're better, they're above and beyond. Your life will be more meaningful, it'll be more fulfilling, it'll be more purposeful. You will be living in the will of God and in the plan of God, and that's where the blessings are. Our problem is we settle for things in life. Sometimes we just settle for normalcy. Sometimes we settle for what the devil's dangling out in front of us. But the bottom line is, you got to understand, God does not do things the way you think they ought to be done. His ways are higher. They're better. And what we're to do now is to submit to His guidance and His leadership. Most church attenders say, God, this is my plan, and you bless it. And look at what it goes on to say in verse 12. Look at what it says in verse 12 of Isaiah 55. It says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Don't you want a peaceful, joyful life? It can only be found in following God. You will go out and be led forth by God with joy and peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Have you ever had that experience? I did. I remember driving home from the hospital the day Daniel was born. He was born in Charleston. We were living in Somerville, so it's about 20 miles. And it was in March, and a cold front had gone through, and the sky was the bluest sky I'd ever seen. And as I'm driving home, I'm sitting there thinking, I have got a baby boy. My whole life had changed. I am now responsible. I'm now going to be, but it seemed like the trees were clapping. It seemed like the skies were rejoicing. That's what Isaiah's saying. Look at what he says there. You'll go forth with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth in song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Man, I went out this morning. Yes, I went out this morning before that sun was rising, and man, those clouds are rolling, and that sun's coming out. And I said, Lord, you are beautiful in this place. You are beautiful in this place. And we commune. I'll bring you more than a song, because a song is not what you require. You want my heart. We worship, man. That's my sanctuary. That is my sanctuary. And so that's the life. You know, that the Lord, God wants so much more. That's what He said. I'm not going to make you go back there because we're going to go somewhere else. But in Joshua 3:5, He goes, be prepared. Tomorrow, I'm going to do wonders among you. God wants to do wonderful things for us. So much more than what we can realize. That's what your prayer needs to be. God a lot of times wants so much more for us than we even want for ourselves. And we need to grab hold of that. Have you ever prayed, God, I want in my life what you want for me? Start praying that. In every area, every way. He'll direct you in every area. God, I want what you want for me in this. I want what you want for me in this. And then sit back and watch Him do wonderful things. I want to give two verses as I close today. And I want this to be your verse. Both of them. I want them. And I want them to be your life verse as according to this scripture. So go with me to Jeremiah 33. And many of you know where I'm going. But isn't this a wonderful verse to claim and say, Lord, I want this for my life in 2024. You got more for me than what I've got right now. And I'm 63 years old. I mean, my life, God's got stuff for me in my life right now. What if you're 18? What if you're 20? What if you're 30? God's still got a plan. You want to strip everything away and make sure it's not you, it's God. It's not me knocking this square peg into this round hole. I want God. I want God's will. I don't want comfort zone. I don't want status quo. I don't want the way it's always been. Now, if that's what God wants for you, it's okay. But make sure that's what God wants for you. Don't just assume because you're leaning on your own understanding. You can't see the beginning of the year to the end of it, but God does. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me in submission. Call unto me, giving me lordship. Call unto me and let me take over this area of your life. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you cannot imagine. Cameron, I never imagined my life would turn out like this. I mean, I am so blessed. I get so humbled. I go back to South Carolina and everybody's so loving and so kind and so respectful. I live here in Wayne County where everyone's so loving and so kind and so respectful. I was telling Patty driving home, I said, do you realize how blessed we are with folks that just love us and pray for us? And it's so humbling. I never could imagine my life would be this blessed. He will show it. Look what he says. I will show you great mighty things which you can't imagine. I've been able to preach the Word of God for 40 years. Been in a pulpit every Sunday pretty much for 40 years. Brenda, like I tell folks all the time, well, when you were growing up, did you always want to be a preacher? Never thought about it. When you were in high school, never thought of it. When you were in college, never thought about it. Never in a million years. But God had a plan. God knew he could use me because I knew I couldn't speak in front of a crowd. He had to put me through that in college, that when I had to give oral reports and my throat closed up, that would be my first conversation with him. When I felt him calling me and I would say to him, Lord, I know you're calling me to preach, but I can't speak in front of a crowd. I said that to God. Then I said it to my pastor on a Wednesday. I said, Joe, this is crazy. I think God's calling me to preach, but I can't speak in front of a crowd. He said, well, we'll find out. You preach Sunday night. So Sunday night I came in, sat in the same pew, the back pew with Patty. Joe did the music. They had the music, and he said, Brother Leo Doyle feels like God's calling him to preach, so he's going to come up in the pulpit and give a message tonight. When I got out of the pew, I was nervous as I'd ever been in my life, but when I got out of the pew, as I was walking down that center aisle, I was enveloped in peace. And when I was in that pulpit, I was enveloped with peace, and I preached that night the way I'm preaching to you today.
Praise God.
But that's an anointing. God's got a plan for your life. But notice this, and make this your voice. Call unto me, and I'll answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you know not. You want to be able to claim that for your life and experience it, and I want to show you one more. Psalm 16:11, and I want you to pray over these verses this week. If you're 60, if you're 70, if you're 80, if you're 20, whatever you are, I want you to pray over them as you begin this new year. And it's this, Psalm 16:11, and it says this. Psalm 16:11, and it says this. You will show me the path of life. All right, here we go again. God, I want you to show me the path. Show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's a no-brainer to want to be in God's will. It's a no-brainer. One, you want to make a New Year's resolution? Say, this year I'm going to follow God more intensely than I ever have in my life. I'm going to seek to follow God. I'm going to make it a priority that I'm not. What did Moses tell the Lord? The Lord said, my presence will go with you. Moses said, I don't want to go alone. The Lord said, Moses, my presence will go with you. And then Moses said, well, Lord, if you ain't there, I don't want to go. That's how it really is in the original Hebrew. If you're not there, I don't want to go. I don't want to go where you're not, is what it says. And so that's what you want in life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to just take a few moments. And I'm going to ask you to say unto the Lord, Lord Jesus, show me an area in my life where I've not sought to follow you yet. Lord Jesus, show me an area in my life that I really need to bring to your leadership and guidance. Because, Father, I'm kind of out in front here and it's been causing some turmoil and disorder within my spirit and stress. Father, I want peace in this area knowing I'm following you. And I want you to make clear to me your direction. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's start with one area that the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind.